21. Revelation chapter 21. Teenagers, let's get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, share with somebody else. There should be a Bible right in the front where the hymnals are. So grab a Bible. Revelation chapter 21. We'll get right into the message tonight. Thank you so much for being in God's house. Revelation chapter 21. It's been a wild night for the kids. I know we had one young boy who was brought a little video game. We took it away, and he was not too happy that we took it away. And he bit somebody. Not good. So it's been fun for me already. So just don't bite anybody, Brother Horse, all right? Amen. Revelation chapter 21. Just kidding. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll get right into the message tonight. We got about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes, and I'll be done. I'll be through. So please listen, and thank you so much for. I thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. I love preaching to the teenagers. I love preaching to the kids, but I do love so much being able to preach to the church as a whole. And I'm so blessed to be here tonight. Blessed to be here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. And thank you, folks, for loving us and taking care of us and being blessed to us. Revelation 21. We'll read verse 4. Let me read that. Revelation 21:4 says this: "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Can I read that one more time? And please think of the words as I read the Word of God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And think about it. This is the Word of God. This will happen. This is true. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." If we could I pray once more for the message? Lord, thank you for what you've done. Bless this message that I preach tonight. Give me your power. I need it. Thank you for all you've done for us in your precious name. Amen. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. Think about it. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, and no more pain, and no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Heaven, folks. Heaven. Heaven. What a wonderful place that's going to be. What an amazing... Just to think about it. I know sometimes as a young man, it's very hard for me to think that one day I'm going... I believe it, but I'm going to die one day and I will stand before Christ. And because of trusting in Christ's blood, I will have eternity in a place called heaven where there is no more sorrow, no more pain. I think of Brother Stevens today with this pacemaker. He's not going to have to worry about anything like that one day. I think of Brother Wedge who's having health problems. And many of you who've had health issues and you have breathing machines, and you're not going to need that one day in heaven. There'll be no pain. We'll have a new body. Heaven will be such a wonderful place. And not just because of our new bodies, but because of those who have gone on before us. I can think of person after person, even in my short life, who one day I know I'll see again in a place called heaven. It's real. It's just as real as Jackson, Michigan. Heaven is real. And heaven is a wonderful place. I think of the fact that because the reason I am going to heaven is because of a day, September 9th, just a few weeks ago, September 9th, 2001, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I know that I have a home in heaven. And I know that I'll never spend a moment in a place called hell.
But the second that I leave this earth, I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. To be absent with His body, to be present with the Lord. I know that I'll go to heaven. I know because of salvation. And I like to think about heaven almost, the Bible doesn't give us all the details. It says in the twinkling of an eye we'll be face to face. But I like to think, we hear stories about the ship. Of getting to heaven and that the ship of life and you're on that journey and those waves come, but one day we'll hit Jordan shore. And just to think of one day being on that ship and being on the edge of that ship, looking over and seeing glory just over on the other side. And seeing your loved ones, my grandma and my grandfather and Eric Tharp Jr. just waiting for us and waving us home. And stepping off that boat onto the shore of Jordan. What a wonderful... It's very exciting to think about. I hope that heaven excites you. I hope that the thought of heaven gives you joy and happiness. Because folks, if you're saved, heaven is real. And we will experience it one day. Man, heaven's such a great place. But tonight's message is not about heaven. It's not about a place called heaven. Tonight's message is about me and you. It's about us. Our text verse, Revelation 21:4, gives us five facts about what heaven will be like. It says that there'll be no death. It says that there'll be no sorrow, no sadness. It says there'll be no more tears, no crying. It says there'll be no pain. And it also says that the former things are passed away. And as wonderful as those are in heaven, those same characteristics of heaven are sometimes in our own lives. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I want to explain. My message tonight is entitled, Heaven Too Soon. Heaven too soon. Sometimes these characteristics that Revelation 21:4 gives us about heaven can be in our own lives. Number one was no death. Sometimes in our life there is no death to self. No death to self. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. No death to self. The best kind of denial is self-denial. The best kind of denial is self-denial. Our flesh does not know best. And so often in our lives, we don't die to self. I do what Pastor Donald wants to do. I do the things I want to do. And I don't die to self. I don't die to self. My flesh does not know the best for me. It doesn't. My flesh wants me to be lazy. My flesh wants me to be angry or upset at people. It wants me to skip my Bible reading and my prayer. My flesh wants me not to pass out that tract and to tithe. And our flesh wants us to skip church and sin and not serve. And we go on and on about what our flesh wants us to do. But we need to die to self. The Bible says, For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Dying to self. So often, I know even in this generation, and probably in the one before this, and many to follow, there was always, whether it was from Hollywood or television or music, there was always this phrase that, why don't you just follow your heart? Follow your heart. And folks, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Following your heart can be the worst thing you can do in your life unless your heart is knit to the heart of Christ. Following your heart is the worst thing you can do. Teenager, listen up. When everybody else tells you to follow your heart, do what you want to do. And if you like that boy, then you be with him. You like that. No. Don't follow what God wants for your life. And that's not just for our team, but for all of us. We need to die to self. It's very easy to get stuck in our comfort zones where we're comfortable. And to never want to leave, whether it's in regards to our service for the Lord or even in our job. It's very easy to get into a comfort zone that's easy, an easy place to live. And I know that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. But I'll tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit makes me a little uncomfortable when there's conviction in my heart. We've got to get out of that comfort zone and die to self. We can't. We need the disciples. The disciples did not turn the world upside down by staying in their comfort zone. No, folks, we've got to get out of that comfort zone. Do more things for Christ. Pass out more tracts. Do our best to be a witness to our family and be a blessing to maybe some wayward children or to some wayward loved ones. Whatever it may be, we need to get out of that comfort zone, die to self, and live for Christ. Lester Roloff said, heard the illustration of Lester Roloff. He used to get up every single morning and take a cold shower just to show himself that he wasn't in charge of himself. He did something he didn't want to do. He took that cold shower. And I think, how often do I just kind of do the things that are comfortable and easy for me when I need to die to self and do just what God wants me to do? Do what the Lord Jesus Christ commands us to do. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So often in our lives, folks, there's no death to self. Just like there's no death in heaven, in our lives, there's no death to self. We need to die to self. Die to self. Be humble and do what the Lord wants us to do. Number two, there's no sorrow. Just like in heaven, there's no sorrow. In our lives, sometimes there's no sorrow over sin. No sorrow over sin. Go to Psalms chapter 51 in your Bible. Psalms chapter 51. No sorrow, no sadness, no heartbreak over the sins in our lives. Yes, it'll be wonderful to one day in heaven have no more sorrow. But in our own lives, there must be sorrow over our sin. Psalms chapter 51. The psalmist David, this is after he committed sin with Bathsheba, he wrote this psalm. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And the rest of the chapter goes on to say, but listen, folks, in our lives, just like David, David didn't just have no care for his sin. No, he knew he messed up. He knew he made a mistake in sin, and he had sorrow for his sin, and he felt guilty for his sin, and he wrote this psalm and said, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. And in our lives, whether you're a teenager or a senior saint or right in the middle, I don't care who we are, we have sin. We are sinners because of our sin nature. And when we do mess up, do we even feel guilty about it? Do we feel bad about it? We need sorrow over our sins. If we begin to realize how much our sin hurts God, we would have sorrow over our sin. Oh, folks, this is preaching for Pastor Donald. Very easy to mess up, do something stupid, say something wrong, do something I shouldn't do, have a bad attitude, have a negative spirit. And then maybe I'll get right, but I don't even think about the effect that it may have had or the time that I may have wasted. I need to have sorrow over my sin. I need to be broken over my sin. Listen, I have sorrow over everything else. We have sorrow over everything else. We get upset. I get upset over the smallest things. But what about my sin? Even something trivial. If a guy cuts you off, it's very easy to get upset. If the dog has an accident on the carpet, very easy to get upset. Listen, whether you stub your toe or you miss your favorite television show, it's very easy to get upset over trivial things that don't matter at all. But what about our sin? What about when we break the heart of Almighty God? Do we even care? Do I even care? Sorrow over our sin. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I know I messed up. I know I'm a sinner. Having sorrow over our sin. Oh, yes, in heaven, praise God for one day, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more bad memories. But in our lives right now, do we have sorrow? Or is there no sorrow over our sin? Look inside your heart. Think deep inside. Is there sorrow over sin? Number two was no sorrow over sin. Number three, heaven says there'll be no more tears, no more crying. But in our lives, are there no tears for the lost? No tears
for the law. Psalms chapter 126, and I'll read it. If you want to turn there, you may. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we were glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the soul. And verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us we need to have tears for the lost. And folks, if there's anything that I know that I'm guilty of, it's not having a greater burden for lost souls. Oh, I know I struggle with it. And maybe you're the same. But I know I struggle with it. I don't have tears for the lost like I should. I don't have a broken heart for the lost as I should. Brother Jeff mentioned something to me one day. I never forget. He said, it stuck with me, Brother Jeff. He said, you know, every person that you come in contact with at Meijer, at the grocery store, wherever you may be, every single person that you come into contact with, you can look at them and say, heaven or hell. They're going to heaven or they're going to hell. Every single person. And does that move me? Does that move us? Teenagers, you may have unsaved moms and dads, unsaved brothers and sisters. Folks, you may have unsaved kids or unsaved brothers or sisters, whatever it may be. Oh, does it break our heart? Do we beg God with tears in our eyes to save their souls and save them from the devil's hell? Oh, God, help me with that. Tears for the lost. Like I said in the last point, it's easy to cry over someone else. You see a sad movie. Or you hear a sad song or whatever it may. I remember my dog, and there's nothing wrong with crying over other things, but my dog, Roscoe, when I was home visiting last year, my dog, we had to take him in and get him put down, and that was hard for me. It was my dog, and I remember crying about that. But I think, man, I cry over my dog who passed away, but he's not going to heaven or hell. When folks, every single day, are dying and going to a place called hell. And does it break our heart? Does it move us? Does it move us with compassion to know that people are dying and going to hell? And those that we love and care about that may not be saved, in any instant they could pass on to eternity. And does it break our hearts? Lord, help me to cry over the lost. Give me that burden. Let me read you the lyrics to this song. It says, I became a servant of the Lord not many years ago. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Him. No place I wouldn't go. I've always served Him faithfully. Each day on Him I'd call. To think that I could one day stray made no sense to me at all. But somehow my steps have faltered. I've somehow wavered from my stand. I know I'm still His child, but how I long to feel His hand. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart. It says you may feel your life is over, that you'll never overcome. This weakness in our lives that take away the strength to run. But this emptiness inside, you don't always have to be. His desire for us is still the same, and He's waiting patiently. So no matter what we think or feel, it's time to make our claim. We must go back to where we were when we first called on His name. And let me read that chorus again. It says, Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart. Do we have tears for the lost? Our families, our friends, those we work with, kids that you go to school with that are on their way to hell. Does it bother us? Does it bug us? Do we care about doing anything about it? Will we do anything about it? We need that burden and we need those tears. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again bringing his sheaves with him. We need to have tears for the lost because people need the Lord.
People need the Lord. Number three, no tears for the lost. Just two more. In heaven, praise God, there will be no pain. Number four, no pain in heaven. So I don't have much pain, but I know some of you live a life of pain, and one day you won't have to experience that anymore. No pain. But in our lives, do we have no pain or no hurt for those who are backslidden? For those who are away from God? The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son who took his part of the inheritance from his father early. And we'll read what happens. Let me read that. Luke chapter 15, starting verse 13. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He took all the money that his dad was going to give him, and he went off and partied and wasted it all. Wasted it all on just riotous living. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He ran out. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." In verse 17, what a great verse. "And when he came to himself," click with him, "he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." Here's a young man, teenager in church who, like many of you know the story, if you don't know the story, this young man took his inheritance and went and wasted it and then ran out and had nothing left. He was in the pig pen, eating the pig food with nothing left. And it says he finally came to himself and said, "Man, my dad's got servants that he takes care of and they get fed. I'll go back and be one of his servants." He wasted his life. He was a backslidden Christian. He was away from God. He was living wickedly, doing wrong. And it says he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father began to yell and scream at him and say, "See, I told you so." His father said, "Sorry, I gave you one chance. You wasted it." That's not what happened. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Oh, folks, it's very, very easy when we're trying to do right and live for God, whether it be kids or parents or wherever it may be, folks in our lives, loved ones in our lives, friends and family who may be away from God, it's very easy, and I'm guilty of it, to look on them and say, "Man, they know better than that. What are they thinking?" And getting mad about it and getting frustrated, almost separating yourself from them and not having any compassion for them. To get annoyed and frustrated. Well, people even in my own family that may be away from God, and it's very easy for me to say, "Listen, you grew up in a Christian home, you know better." That will not make a difference. Listen, it's very easy, and I'm so thankful. The bus ministry is my heart. I've served it for many years. But can I tell you something? And think about what I'm saying. Bus kids are not the only ones who need compassion. Well, think about that for a moment. They do need it. But it's very easy to take a little boy who comes from a rough home and love on him. But what about that person who's got a good life and a good job and they're away from God? And they're living like a fool. And it's very easy to look at them and kind of with your nose and say, "Man, I can't believe them. What are they thinking?" People that have made mistakes. But that is not the way the Lord wants us to be. Folks, please listen. Having compassion, having pain and hurt for those who are backslidden. Does it hurt you to see others in sin? Sometimes, even to the extent, and I've been guilty of this, someone may mess up and fail and say, "Well, saw that coming. Well, that'll teach them. Oh, Lord, help me to never be like that. Because I could be in the same situation. I could get away from God. I could get away from what the Lord wants me to do. And I would want others to welcome me with open arms and love me and help me and be there for me. I wouldn't want them looking down at me and kicking me while I'm down. No! I'd want them to have compassion as Jesus did. Oh, do we have pain and hurt for the backslidden? The Bible says lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We need to look on those who may be away from God. And everybody can think of somebody, whether it's a son or a daughter or a cousin or an aunt, uncle, mom, or dad, who is away from God. Look on them with love. Help them. Pray for them. Having pain or hurt for the backslidden. And number five, lastly, it says, in heaven the former things are passed away. And sometimes in our lives, and praise God, not this church, but sometimes in our lives, those things that we know to be true and right, those things that have built our Christian faith and built our lives, sometimes it's easy just to forget about those things. And those former things are passed away. Do you see what I'm saying? It's very easy in our life, whether it be the way that you feel about soul winning. Maybe years ago, you were just a man, you were a soul winner. But as years went by, the burden kind of went away, and those former things are passed away. And that heart for God you once had is gone. And that love for souls you had is gone. And that love for the Word of God is gone. And that desire to talk to God and bring your burdens to Him, that desire, that prayer life is gone. And that joyful spirit of singing, you came to church, you used to sing it out and be excited, and now it's just habit. And all that life for God that you had has kind of faded away. The former things are passed away. You need to get that back. Whatever it is that you've left behind, oh, get it back. Whether it's your Bible reading or prayer or your faithfulness. And you're here on Wednesday night, you're faithful, praise God, but whatever it may be. And the former things are passed away in your life. Don't let that happen. Praise God in heaven, that's true. Former things are passed away, but in our lives, may it not be like that. Heaven, too soon. The 5 points were no death to self. No tears for the lost. No pain and hurt for the backslidden. No sorrow over sin. And the former things have passed away. Let God work in your heart tonight. Think about it. Heads bowed and eyes closed.